The doctors wanted to take her.
And he always.
Praise the Lord. Well, I appreciate these young fellas. Amen. And their willingness to pray in our services and help out in our services and just be a blessing in the prayer room, faithful, doing what they're supposed to be doing. The future looks bright. I'm happy for it. If you're going to fail, why not fail in the younger years so you can pick yourself up and brush yourself off? The Lord's been very good to the Baldwin family, hasn't he?
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate what he's done. Caleb down at Crown and Noah, and who knows what's going to happen. Grooming him for a Sunday school teacher position, or who knows what God will do with him. Could be the next pastor and associate pastor of the church. Of course, I won't live long enough for y'all to. Somebody will have to be in between me and y'all. But Noah, you come. We're going to get out of here tonight at 7:30. Okay? So you got to leave. Yeah, you got 14 minutes. All right? Don't worry about the invitation. Ryan's going to do the invitation because we're going to lose a lot of time having Sam come to the piano. We want you to get up here and just give us something burning on your heart from God's word, okay? And you ain't got to be your dad. You ain't got to be your brother. And you surely don't have to be the pastor. God just wants you to be the Samuel that he created you to be, okay?
Right.
That's true. That's true. She's alive, John.
Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity for me to come up here. It's a privilege to come up here and open up God's word. Proverbs chapter 29, starting in verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. My title is simple, pride. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to come to church today. Please help this message not to fall on deaf ears. Please help me with this topic too, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Webster's 1828 dictionary's definition for pride is.
I love it. Apple don't fall far from the tree. We're going to get quotes.
Amen. Webster's 1828 dictionary's definition for pride is inordinate self-esteem, an unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank or elevation in office, which manifests itself in lofty airs, distance, reserve, and often contempt of others. Insolence, rude treatment of others. Insolent exultation, generous elation of heart. A noble self-esteem springing from a consciousness of worth. Elevation, loftiness. Decoration, ornament, beauty displayed. Splendid show, ostentation. That of which men are proud. That which excites boasting. Proud persons. In the Bible, both pride and proud are mentioned 48 times. Judges 14, 2 through 3 says, and he, talking about Samson, came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Pride is one of the biggest problems in the Bible today and probably the future. Samson, the Pharisees, the disciples, me, and probably you struggle with it. Maybe for some of you, your pride will make you not listen, pay attention to, or heed my message on pride. Maybe because I'm young, maybe because you've been wallowing in your pride so long that it has corrupted you. I hope you won't let these or other factors get in the way of God's message for me to preach to you. Proverbs 21:4 says, in high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. Point number one, pride brings corruption. Please turn to Daniel chapter 4, starting in verse 28. I'm going to start reading because I don't have much time. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as an oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. Now, if that is a corruption to you, maybe this guy will sound corrupted. When I think of pride corrupted Nebuchadnezzar, I think of ring corrupted Gollum. Gollum is a character from Lord of the Rings who finds this evil ring that the longer he has it, the more it corrupts him till he's this little evil, nasty looking thing. In this analogy, pride represents, the ring represents pride, and Gollum can represent us corrupted by our pride. Some, maybe even most of you, and sometimes me, your pride has made your spiritual self look like Gollum. Let's look at some quote-unquote spiritual golems in the Bible. John 9, 24 through 34 says, Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, this is talking about the Pharisees talking to the man born blind, Give God the praise. We know that this man, talking about Jesus, is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that where he is, I was blind. Now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost teach us. And they cast him out. In this passage, the Pharisees think they are better than everyone else. They are spiritual golems. Here's a question for you. Are you a spiritual golem? There are too many spiritual golems in our churches today. Don't be one. Point number two, pride brings contention. Genesis 11:4 says, And they, the people that were going to build the Tower of Babel, said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Contention means strife, and surely the people building the Tower of Babel got strife. Proverbs 13:10 says, Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. If you don't address your pride, it will only bring contention and eventually condemnation. Right. Point number three, pride brings condemnation. Please turn to Luke 16:22-25. And it says, And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus, the beggar, in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Pride will bring condemnation if not dealt with. Proverbs 16:18 says, Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Yeah. Condemnation can come in different ways. If you aren't saved, your pride may keep you from getting saved. If you are saved, you may be brought low, as my starting text said. Or other non-saved people watching you might not get saved because of your pride. I hope that when I get to heaven, I don't figure out that my pride kept others from not getting saved. Yeah. Come on. But there is hope. James 4:6 says, But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. For the unsaved, grace can be attained at the cross. For everyone to gain power over pride. Number one, get saved if you're not. Number two, pray for humility. And number three, try to be humble like Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to come up here and preach. Please help Ryan. Please help us all to listen to his message. And please give him the courage. And please help his message not to fall on deaf ears as well. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Did. Home run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Amen, Mama. It works.
Yeah, right.
Just doing right works.
Yeah.
We can turn this thing around. It goes along with this morning's message. The White House is not failing us. Churches are failing us. Brother, Pledger, right? Sorry, preacher. Said it, that the church has a responsibility. 8.3 billion people. One church has to reach them. And we also have a responsibility. And when we do it, it helps. It magnifies. It works when you start doing it the right way. Good stuff, Noah. And just because it was fast and you thought you didn't have any time, it still worked. Our churches are ate up with pride. Our pulpits are ate up with pride. And we have nothing to be proud about. We just have a really good Savior. Amen. Good stuff. Can you follow behind that and give an invitation? If you can, I'll be up here to catch you. Amen. All right.
Well, just making sure everything's good. Okay.
You guys paying attention back there, soundboard?
All right. Well, what Noah just presented was amazing. I honestly don't know how I can follow behind that, but I will do my best. Hello, everyone. I am Ryan, and I have been asked, along with Noah, to present a sermon. The topic, if you haven't heard, I saw my mom posted it on Facebook, but the topic I have chosen is trials. If you could all please turn in your Bibles to Job chapter 1, verses 13. Now, the passage I'm going to speak about is in verse 13, so I'll give I'll talk about what was through verse 1 through 12. Now, in verses 1 through 12, we can see that Job lived, we can see where Job lived and that he was quite wealthy. And that he shared his wealth with his children, but we can also see that he prayed and offered sacrifices for his children. We can see that he cares for his children enough to sacrifice for them. Next, we can see that Satan visits God and that God recommends Job to Satan. Just think about that. Job was so well known and so feared that God had confidence enough in Job that he was able to withstand temptation. Then we can see that Satan specifically challenges God, saying that he will make Job curse God. And now we find ourselves in verse 13. Verse 13. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, and also, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out in three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. Yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So my first point is, trials take. In verses 12 through 22, we can see that his trials took a lot from him. So the trials, first, it took his home. Well, you ask, what is a home? Well, a home is a place of comfort, or a place of resting. It took the place he cared about. Secondly, it took his wealth, or his financial stability. Back in that time period, they would barter with animals or livestock as currency. So his livestock was everything, and that was taken away as well. And thirdly, his children. As a boy now, I don't know the feeling of fatherhood, but I do have a brother, and he's a work of art, but I love him. And he's sleeping, but okay. But just to think about that, to lose 10 children just sounds horrible. But throughout this, Job did not curse God. Now, for this next one, could you all turn to chapters 2, verses 1 through 10? And I'll read that. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, though thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sore of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then his wife unto him, then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. And he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. So we see, number four, the trials took his health. In chapter 2, we can see that Satan goes back to God and says in verse 4 and 5 that the only reason that Job has not cursed God yet is because that he has not, quote-unquote, messed with Job's body. So God gives Satan permission to mess with Job's body, but to spare his life. That we can see that in verses 7 and 8. In verses 7 and 8, we can see that Job is sitting in the ashes, scraping himself with a pot, shard of broken pot. And now, if you've ever wondered what boils are, they're huge sores. And I know this because I had to explain it to Joshua and Katie because they were asking. And so boils are large bumps that are filled with fluid and pus, and it's really disgusting. And he was scraping himself with a shard of a pot. And have you ever stopped to wonder whether or not Job was sitting in the reminiscence of his house, his place of comfort? I mean, if you felt comfortable somewhere and you just really had a bad day, where would you go? You would go to your place of comfort, like your prayer closet. Well, Job doesn't have that now. So where does he go? He goes and sits in the ashes of what he has. And then number five, his wife's respect. In verses 9 through 10, we can see that his wife just plain out says to curse God and die, which honestly just doesn't sound respectful. You know, he may not have had the respect of his wife, but you know whose respect he had? He had God's respect.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, number one, trials take. Number two, trials test. This one goes along with the first one, but haven't you ever thought that maybe it was just one big test orchestrated by God for Job? And you're probably saying, but Ryan, what specifically did God test Job about? Well, I'm glad you asked. It tested, number one, Job's faith. It simply showed whether or not Job would curse God. Throughout the entirety of this story, he does not curse God. I mean, we've all had trials, but imagine getting everything taken away from you. Number two, it tested Job's patience. Now, I'm not saying that Job got impatient with God, because he was sitting in those ashes for a very long time before his so-called friends came along and visited. Another thing is that back then, have you ever thought, like, how long would it take for information to spread? So Job is sitting in these ashes, and just, I don't know for how long, but he's sitting in those ashes. So it would have had to test Job's patience. And then number three, Job's acceptance. In verse 10, Job recognizes that he is not the only one in the history of the world to go through bad times. And it must have been God's will for him. Although he's sitting in those ashes, he realizes that, hey, this is God's plan. Let me leave it up to God. And, you know, he got everything taken away from him. And that was a pretty big trial. But let's just say you stub your toe on your coffee table in the morning. You can't even show up to church.
Come on.
Another thing, and I love to put this plug in here. Can't even show up to the prayer room where maybe you could get those trials. Maybe just some help from the older men in your life. Maybe. Just saying. Just throwing that out there. So, number one, trials take. Number two, trials test. And number three, trials testify. Or trials can be a testimony. Well, number three, trials testify. What was the testimony in Job's life? The fact that he lost everything, the fact that he lost everything. One would assume that after this trial Job went through, he would probably be telling everybody about what had happened and about how in the end he stayed there in those ashes and he was blessed from it. And in the end, God ended up doubling his livestock and blessing him with 10 more children. Now, maybe you're going through a trial right now. And one piece of advice I could give you is that God is there, okay? In your trial, he is there. If you just get through the trial, with God's help, of course, you will come out better for it. In conclusion, we know that trials will come, but it is up to you whether to sit in those ashes or to get up and serve the Lord. Because it's all in God's hand. Thank you.
I created a monster. Grandma, I'm sorry. All that other stuff is mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. That prayer room thing, that's all pastor. I'm sorry. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me read a verse of scripture. Good stuff, fellas.
Yeah. Amen.
You know what stood out the most for me? They use their Bible.
Yeah, right.
I can go to churches tonight. They tell stories.
Yeah.
Tell stories. I've met so many story preachers. Just get a verse of scripture and depart thereof. And just tell stories and illustrations and scare tactics and everything else. And so I appreciate that. I'm going to give you guys a tip, okay? Paul wrote Timothy, and he said in the second chapter of Timothy 2, he said, "Thou therefore, my son," Paul had taken credit, spiritually speaking, for Timothy. He said, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, same commit thou to faithful men." That's what's being done to you guys. There's men in here that are committing faithful things to you. But there's a space in between there. I'm not going to read it for sake of time. There's a lot of things you can find yourself getting caught up in. And you come around to verse 19 that says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." That'll be your journey from here on out. Why? He said, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him as will." I've been at this juncture many times in my life with other people. In Africa, there was young people I worked with in Africa. And there's that gap from what he said in chapter 2 to verse 20. And that'll be the challenge, what you're going to do with your life. You can flee youthful lusts and be useful to the master, or you can jump on the bandwagon with so many out there and waste their life away and think they're gaining something. And when it's all said and done, all you'll have is what you did for Christ that lasts. Utilize that. You have no weights right now, really. You have a perfect environment, good homes, good godly homes. It doesn't mean you have to be a preacher. He said, the servant of the Lord. We should all be servants. And Lord knows our churches need a whole lot of men servants. Amen. Y'all did a good job tonight. I'm pleased with y'all. Pride's a negative in the Bible, isn't it, Noah? It's not a positive. God said of his son, he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." I know we say we're proud of somebody, but we should be pleased with them. We're pleased that they're following the Lord. What's our responsibility? We have baby dedication. Was he a baby dedication? Previous church. Used to run from me screaming as a little baby. Now look at him. Got up there and delivered a solid message on pride. Our responsibility is, like when we dedicate children, we're supposed to help them. Amen? So let's help these young men be everything they're supposed to be. Lord knows our churches need good men. Amen. 7:30, y'all did it. Miss Sam, why don't you come? How many have kept these two boys in the nursery? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Ellie, you ain't kept nobody in the nursery. Nobody else has kept them? Miss Miller, you've kept them boys in the nursery, ain't you? Who else? Miss Terry, you've kept them boys in the nursery, haven't you? No? You came here later on? Miss Sherry, you didn't? Mama kept some of them in the nursery. Amen. Well, let's keep them on the path. All right? If he mentions that some don't go to the prayer room, what's that mean? It's there. He's not mentioning it to condemn somebody. He's mentioning it because you're discouraging him or encouraging him. Amen. Comes in there like a grown man every time, both of them, shaking people's hands and greeting them. Comes in there with purpose and sits there and listens to us. We're training the next generation. Let's train them good. Amen. Akron Baptist Temple, one of the greatest churches in this area, in less than 60 years gone. You know what happened? They stopped passing the torch. And here we are coming up on 100, almost crashed on the rocks. And now we're still doing what we're supposed to be doing. Maybe we'll be the next light for the Akron area. Amen. Let's help these young men. Let's all stand to our feet. God's placed something on your heart. Let's pray.